Blog Talk Radio.
clowntimes.net, and you'll be able to find me on Facebook. Just go to it doesn't matter if you're on your smartphone or your laptop or your old school, your desktop. Anyway, just go to the search window in the upper left hand corner and type the word the Clown Times, or the phrase the Clown Times, and that's Clown spelled with K. You'll be able to find me there as well. Let's get into tonight. The World Cup is almost reaching the knockout stage. I got some thoughts about that, as well as, you know, a little bit about the NBA draft. Who should have been the rookie of the year from the Warsaw Room when James Harden looked like he was wearing a curtain. But really, I want to focus on the NBA free agency, because there are lots more news going on with that, with Kawhi Leonard, the drama surrounding where is he going to end up being traded, will he stay with San Antonio, blah, blah, blah. Also, the summer of LeBron is still here. I really personally don't give a damn. Just waiting for him to make the damn decision. But anyway, help me break that all down. That's my trusty co-host, co-pilot, if you will. Y'all know him from the Yard/HBCU Sports, sports blogger, and reps of all things HBCU Sports, as well as this podcast called Sleazy Red, here every week on Blog Talk Radio. My man, Dwayne Nash, is in the house. How you doing, sir?
Scott, what the deal?
Lots of going on in the sports world, man. Hey, yo, I always feel tears of fears. I mean, it always goes back to my childhood. It goes back to your childhood and back in the 80s.
Oh, yes.
And it's something about the song that makes me want to play the whole damn thing out. You know, I normally like to cut in with the intro and everything, you know, while the music's playing. But, you know, I it's something about that, man. It's just so infectious. It's one of those timeless things. So,
yes, it is.
Sorry, but
it's
not
very timeless. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's something about your boy's melody that he gives you throughout that entire track that just makes it so timeless.
Yeah, and plus it feels like you just want to go up and just do some, like, I don't know, just kick some ass, whether if you're working out or if you're about to beat the hell out of somebody. I mean, go pledge, something. It's something about that melody, man. It just gets you. It just speaks to me. But before I go off too long on that song, Tangent on Music, which is another podcast from another time, this World Cup, man, is crazy. And but before we get to the World Cup, what the hell happened to Germany? I mean, what happened to it? I mean, it's like the third year in a row that the defending champ got eliminated in, like, the first round. It's just crazy losing 2-0 to South Korea. And Germany was supposed to be
the
top ranked.
The one game that you thought
ranked.
They would have.
Yeah. And they were supposed to be, Germany was supposed to be the top ranked team in the world.
Yeah.
Their men's team. And they're just going out on the thud. What the hell happened to them? What the hell happened?
You know what? They've been playing relatively poor the entire opening round, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, like I said, I was expecting them to get this dub as badly as South Korea has looked in their first two matches, and I knew that Germany needed this one. I was like, okay, well, here you go. Germany's going to – that was just the way it seemed over a week's time. It seemed like, you know, there were a lot of favorites, even though it was maybe one or two matches in that were on the outside looking in on whether or not they were advanced to the 16. And Germany is one of those teams. You know, so you get to today, South Korea, worst team in their grouping. You're thinking to yourself, or so I was, hey, okay, South Korea, as many goals as they give up, this is a dub, bro. But Germany will go ahead. They'll slide themselves in and find a way to go ahead and compete for another championship. And as we should say back in the day, psych a boo boo. You know, I was completely thrown off. Not just the fact that they lost to South Korea, but the fact that they were shut out. So maybe I didn't get a chance to see any highlights. I don't know if it's a situation where South Korea just came out dominant and just destroyed Germany, or Germany said, you know what, we don't even want to go ahead and compete this year. We're going to go ahead and just bow out. Either way, it was something that I was not expecting today at all.
I don't know if they're looking forward to it. I know it sounds stupid as hell to say this. I don't know if they're looking forward to the UEFA like Nations Tournament against, I think, France in a few weeks. But I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what the stuff they were on. Look, the whole damn tournament they played terrible. They lost, they lost to Mexico. They got shut out twice. They got shut out by Mexico, right? It was a huge upset. And they played poorly against Sweden. They were down to 10 men, but managed to score two goals near the end of the match. I mean, like the last one was pretty damn cool actually. But they were playing with fire the entire tournament, and now today they're getting shut out by South Korea, for crying out loud. And if you look at the goal differential, they finished dead freaking last in their group. Yeah. No one saw that coming. Not
at all.
At all. It's crazy.
So, that's one of the things that that caught me by surprise in this entire opening round, the opening play that, I said last week, I was expecting Germany to move on to the round of 16.
Sure.
There you go. That lets you know how much of a soccer genius I am. And how much flack
you
I
and everybody
that.
Else, man.
Yeah, but that's how much flack I caught on the show yet last night, man. You know, Coach and Lou, they saw my reposting of your show last week. They said, so you're a soccer genius now, huh? Said, no, that's not what I said. Don't put that out there. Come on, man.
Right.
Then you misquoted me.
Get it right. Get it right, damn it. if I said the wrong thing, at least make sure I said the right wrong thing.
Exactly.
but just look at this tournament so far, man. Before I get to that, let's talk about what's going to go on tomorrow. Just pull up the schedule here. Get to the damn schedule. Okay, here we go. It's like we got the winners basically Group H going tomorrow. You have Japan, Poland, Senegal, Colombia, as well as England and Belgium, which will be for their group. Both teams look very good. I mean, Belgium looks like Belgium, okay? And England, even though they're decent, let's be honest. They're the beneficiaries of a pretty easy damn group. It's bad enough to have Belgium have this easy damn group because you got Panama and Tunisia in your group. Panama had no damn business being there. That should have been our spot, but that's another story for another time. But nevertheless, England, they got the okey-doke of playing two not-so-good teams. They're about to get the asses kicked tomorrow by Belgium. And I know that England's probably happy as hell that they're on to the round of 16, to the knockout stage. But just don't be surprised if Belgium just wobs them and reminds them, you're not us. So I'm looking forward to that. As well as Senegal. The matches in Group H, I think it is, with Japan, Poland, Senegal, and Colombia, is pretty crazy because, like, here's how the teams are so jumbled up right now. I mean, if you look at the standings, or as they call it, the table, you notice that Japan and Senegal are tied for first place with 4 points apiece. Same goal differential. Columbia is right behind them with 3 points and two goal differential. What Senegal need to happen, they need a Poland to remember they were Poland and beat down Colombia, or at least tie them. That didn't happen. So
no.
Now both Japan and Senegal, they have to win to be assured that they move on. But more or less, Japan needs a – so basically Japan and Senegal need at least a point. In other words, they both need at least a draw. If they
mm-hmm.
can get a draw, they're both in. They're both on to the round of 16, which no one saw coming, especially not with Norway, who is a top 10 team in the world in soccer, and not with Colombia with all that talent. So, again, this has been a crazy-ass tournament. It's been so freaking unpredictable. But what are your thoughts on what's going to go down tomorrow, particularly in Group H with the Japan, Senegal, and Colombia logjam at the top?
Yeah, like you said, this will be the only grouping where it looks like both favorites from that group have a huge possibility of being knocked out tomorrow. And if that happens, like you said, man, it'll be a huge shock. You know, especially with Japan coming in, being the lowest-ranked team in that grouping, having
mm-hmm.
a top spot right now. I don't think anyone saw that coming, especially with the way that Poland has been looking so far. So, you know, if Colombia can come out and get them a big win over Senegal tomorrow, then, yeah, they'll go ahead and they'll sneak in, you know, being, what, the 16th-ranked country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it'll kind of salvage that. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a big possibility that Senegal could come through and surprise Colombia tomorrow.
You know what?
So, you know,
that's
one of those pick'em games.
Yeah, I mean, Senegal has been almost everybody and their mamas. If you look at Fox Sports 1 coverage or ESPN's FC coverage, a lot of them pick Senegal to be the dark horse because
mm-hmm.
they have all the talent. They got the speed. They got a young cat coaching them who has a bit of tactics going on there. I mean, I'm just looking at Poland, though. Poland's not going to make it. They have 0 points, and they got three teams ahead of them with at least 3 points. They're not going anywhere. So it basically comes down to Japan, Senegal, and Colombia. And that's going to
mm-hmm.
be pretty – I want to see that Senegal and Colombia match because, I mean, you have a favorite who shouldn't be in this in third place right on in Colombia and I guess upstart in Senegal. So that should be very exciting, I mean, because both teams have to get up and down the pitch, and that's going to be cool as hell. But looking forward, no matter what happens tomorrow, the best team – to me, has been Uruguay. I mean, I know that they had an easy-ass group. And Russia, they were the prime beneficiaries of being that group, too, even though they got their asses handed to them by Uruguay. I mean, because you have Saudi Arabia and Egypt
mm-hmm.
in that group. And I think Russia's going to get a huge dose of bad reality when they play France in the knockout stage. France is that team, too. And they look good, bro. They look very good. And it wasn't like they had an easy group. I mean, Denmark and Peru are pretty good.
And that's what we were talking about last night on the show. You know, is there technically a group of death in this year's World Cup? And I wish I would have had my notes with me from my last conversation with you because I would have been able to tell them that Group C and Group E are the two closest groups to groups of death as you'll probably get, and that's based off of their world rankings, with Group E slightly being tougher than Group C, but Group C having three teams that are ranked in the top, actually in the top 12 within that grouping.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you talk about like Group E with Brazil, Switzerland, Serbia, and Costa Rica. Those first three countries, man, they're pretty damn good. And, you know, it's a shame that they had to beat you up to get out of it. I mean, Brazil and Switzerland are, to me, the top two teams in that group, and not just by points total, but they just are. But Serbia is not bad, and Costa Rica is really not that bad either. They just got put in a bad group. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen Costa Rica in action. Those guys are they don't suck. And if you go back to was it Group C? I mean France, Denmark, and Peru. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. People are like crapping on Peru right now, but weren't they the Copa America Centenario champs from a couple years ago? I think they were. I think they beat the. I don't have it in front of me, but I think they beat Argentina for that title. But at any rate, but what I'm trying to say is Peru is pretty damn good too. And for them to struggle, I mean, it's no shame struggling against the likes of Denmark and France, especially France. Excuse me, no shame of that at all. I mean, if you see France in action, I mean, shoot. I'm just surprised Australia was able to earn a draw against France, which speaks to the toughness of that group. So, to me, I think the favorites going forward. I know Croatia is looking good as well. I mean, but Argentina. Talk about another disappointment though. Argentina. They made it by the skin of the chinny, the hairs of the chinny.
Of their teeth. Yes.
I mean,
you would have thought that they would have been one of the favorites going into the tournament, but they're one of those teams. I haven't seen what their matchup is going to be in the group of 16 as of yet, but I'm a little concerned about
France.
Them. Did they play France in the first round?
Hold on for a second. I pulled it up. I'm sorry. Russia played Spain. I got Russia wrong, but Argentina does play France. They play France.
Ooh.
They're going to get the ass. They're going to get the ass.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the concerns I have for Argentina going into the round of 16 is the amount of goals they've given up in their grouping, which is what? I think they've given up a total of 8 goals throughout the entire – which is one of the worst goals allowed throughout the entire Cup this year. So I'm a little concerned about them going up against France. There's a possibility France might end up blowing them out. But
They have a negative 2 goal differential, that's Argentina. That's terrible.
You know what I mean? The most goals given up.
Yeah. They've given up, I'm looking at here, they have allowed 5, which ties Iceland, Australia, among others, for the worst. But they look terrible.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what that is. I'm looking at my wrong notes.
But they're only ahead of Egypt and Saudi Arabia, which is the company you don't want to be in right now. But
that's not that
terrible
group that you want to be in. Yeah. But that's one of the things they've given up the most in their grouping. I do apologize about that. But I'm a little concerned because of that. But hey, if they're capable of turning around against France and they're able to knock France out, it's wide open after that.
I just think that Argentina is just Lionel Messi and just a bunch of dudes. They really rely on Messi to do a whole hell of a lot. And that's look, I'm not crying for a damn near billionaire in Messi. He's supposed to be that dude. I know he's compared unfairly to Diego Maradona, who looked like a complete lush at the end of that match against Nigeria, flipping people off from the stands and just hauling and wailing around. It's obvious that he was pretty slush, but nevertheless, look, I know that Messi will always think in the back of his head he will never be Maradona, and I know that a lot of people think that Cristiano Ronaldo has officially passed Messi as quote unquote that dude, as far as the best soccer player in the world. He just needs to earn his status and just pull LeBron and pull his team through. He has to, because he is that guy, and he's the only guy on that squad. So without him, man, Artisan has no damn shot. None. So he has to do what he has to do, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Anyway, so I just – so okay, so here's the deal. So I'm looking at the pairings right now, and I know that groups G and H are going to play tomorrow to round out the knockout round. But just looking at the matchups, Uruguay and Portugal, that's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
They play the winner of France and Argentina. Again, you might as well pencil in France because they're going to be the hell of Argentina. Then you have – in the next side, you have Brazil – and Mexico. That's going to be entertaining as hell.
That's going to be
entertaining as hell. And who knew that the Mexican side would bring so many fans to Russia, of all places? Those cats are turning out. They turned out. And there's a picture going around the web of since South Korea knocked out Germany to essentially assure Mexico of a spot in the round of 16, even after their beat down today at the hands of, I think, what was it, who was it? It was Sweden.
Sweden,
They were, some Mexican fans were carrying, were like body surfing an older South Korean fan through a crowd. That had to be one of the coolest things I've seen. Because, you know, kind of similar to when the Bills sent, like, lots of nice, sweet nothings to the Cincinnati Bengals for beating the Ravens in order to get them into the playoffs. But,
oh, yeah.
But that was a cool sight. And, again, Mexican fans, they travel. I didn't think they'd travel like that. Those cats travel. But, unfortunately, it'll come to an end against Brazil. Brazil's
yeah,
looking
I was
too
say,
good.
You know, Mexico is slowly becoming the darling of the World Cup as of right now. So, you know, with their fans traveling, they probably picked up some fans on the way as well as they looked within their grouping. But once again, they played in a weaker grouping than Brazil, and Brazil was
right.
Again another higher-ranked squad. I'm just expecting – like you said, Brazil to come out on top. But it's just been a funny World Cup already. We'll see, man. We'll see.
We'll see. Again, Germany's not in it. And Germany finished dead freaking last in the group. And Argentina almost didn't make it. So, it's anything's possible. So, I mean, it's been wacky. But the winner of Brazil and Mexico will get the Group G winner and the Group H runner-up, whoever the hell that would be. So moving on to Spain and Russia. That should be an ass-whooping. Russia,
for
the beneficiaries of playing both Saudi Arabia and Egypt, two inferior squads. And then when they met with a squad, at least a weight class or higher, in Uruguay just beat the hell out of them, 3-0. So I expect a lot the same with Spain. Spain is just a lot better than Russia.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
get the
like you
great.
Said,
yeah.
the benefit of them being in the weakest grouping out of the entire World Cup, I don't know if that's home cooking or if that's just a fear of Putin that got that to go down. But, yeah, I just thought it was real interesting that was the case, that they were in the weakest grouping out of the entire World Cup. But, yeah, like you said, they're about to get smacked with reality. In about a week, so get ready.
Yeah, and you know what? One quick side note: when my son was like 2.5 years old, and when he heard like someone mention Putin's name on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, he started snickering and said, "He said Putin." So I thought I'd share that little anecdote. right along, Spain will play the winner of Croatia and Denmark, which should be a hell of a match. I think Croatia is going to come out on top, but nevertheless, that's going to be one tough-ass matchup for Spain, whoever comes out of that. And scrolling down, the last two spots, got Sweden versus Switzerland, which should be great. They get the winner of Group H winner and the Group G runner-up. So basically, it looks like Sweden is going to move on, but that should be another entertaining match to watch. So basically, most of these matchups, exception of Spain and Russia, and maybe France and Argentina, they should be very competitive. And I know that our country didn't make it in. I know they went to bed and CONCACAF qualifying. Trinidad and Tobago, really? But anyway, I think that a lot of people in this country are still watching the World Cup because it's just so exciting. And I think that Fox Sports has done a hell of a job with promoting it and making it interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are a lot of people who didn't really make that full attempt last World Cup to get into it that are now. And once again, thank watching a deal in the NFL, you do have a lot of people who aren't watching the NFL who have been looking for something to watch. They have been technically sports starved, and they may have watched a little bit of NBA, but you still have that hole now where a person like me is probably trying to get into minicamp once minicamp starts next month, but is trying to fill that space with something. And, you know, these sports fans didn't have American football. So now they're filling that with World Cup. And they're picking countries, especially with African Americans. You know that they're leaning on African teams, especially with Senegal right now, and rooting for them and looking for something to get into sport-wise.
You know what, though, too? In addition to Senegal and Nigeria, those are the two common ones Nigeria is one of the common ones that qualifies for World Cups year after year, like time to time to time. But France has a lot of brothers in that squad, too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those guys were the African immigrants or what have you that grew up in France and Belgium, the likes of Belgium as well. I mean, there's a lot of melanin representation going on amongst the best European squads in the world. So it ain't just Senegal. It ain't just them. So, I think I mentioned Belgium. I remember that company guy. I think his name was Victor Company from a few years back. Was really, 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 really good. I know Germany had some good brothers from the last World Cup 4 years ago. I can't remember their names. I think one of them was Ghanaian, actually. Mm. Was from Ghana. You know, but he chose to play for the German side while his brother played for the Ghanaian side, which had to be pretty awkward come Thanksgiving. But still, basically, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of us go around. And so to combine that with the entertaining play, style of play, then shoot, you know, we got a lot to watch for. Before we go off this topic, and we've been talking soccer for 28 minutes. How about that? Who are your favorites to reach the World Cup final?
My favorites. Like I said, I need to see the seedings. But if France,
your favorite to win it all.
Well, I'm looking at France, Belgium, and Brazil, but if I'm going to go with an upset squad, my upset squad, and I don't want to say it because I had a strong feeling they're going to get knocked out in the first round, my upset squad, I'm rooting for Mexico. I really am.
I am too.
That's my secret squad. Yeah.
Because they're our only representation from CONCACAF.
Yeah.
They're our neighbors. Some play, like a few of those cats play in MLS. So basically, if Mexico does well, MLS seems to do well in the eyes of the opinion holders out there and observers. Mm-hmm. Like, it was too bad because actually Panama and Costa Rica has the most MLS players on their rosters. You see how they did. But again, Costa Rica was in probably the toughest group, arguably the toughest group of the tournament. And they did earn a point. So there is that. But I'm thinking, just looking at this, I know I have the benefit of looking at the seedings in front of me. So I'm thinking, it wouldn't surprise me to see Sweden and France to play for the All the Marbles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
excuse me, would not shock me one bit. My heart is with Mexico and hoping that Senegal gets, like qualifies into the round of 16 tomorrow. But more than likely, it's either going to be France or Sweden that will be hoisting the World Cup trophy when it's all said and done.
But it's something about Group H. If both Senegal and Japan can get in, once again,
yeah,
you know, there will be some of the lower-ranked countries to make it in.
Right.
Actually, I think
right,
it would be the two lowest-ranked countries to get in outside of Russia. It's something about those two countries that I gravitate to as well. It's something about underdogs in sports that I'm learning that I tend to root for, like I said last week, in the case of Iceland. And unfortunately,
right,
we saw what they did. And it's a possibility that Japan and Senegal are probably saying, no, D-Nash, no. We saw what you did to Iceland. We don't need you rooting for us right now.
Don't jinx
us,
bro.
I'm probably getting all kind of hate tweets right now. Don't root for us, dog. We cool. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just sit back and not root for nobody and just hope for great soccer and see what happens from there.
And, you know, before I move on, I want to send my apologies to Belgium fans. I know that you guys are good as well, but I just don't see y'all being Sweden in round two. Like that's the potential matchup. If Belgium wins, they should win Group H tomorrow. They should be England. But if they play Sweden in round two, I'm sorry, Belgium, you guys aren't moving past Sweden. But it's going to be a great knockout round. And I'm looking forward to that. So we move from that, from talking 31 minutes of soccer, that has to be a record, to the NBA free agency. I know that I have scheduled NBA draft, the NBA Rookie of the Year talk, but let's face it. I mean, we don't know how these kids are going to pan out in the draft. I have a question or two about that in a moment and our thoughts of Rookie of the Year. But I want to talk quickly the NBA's free agency that's going on right now. All this news about Kawhi Leonard, about teams line up to trade anybody, including their mamas and daddies, for Kawhi Leonard. Like I see that Boston's in the mix, was in the mix, but they look like they're about to drop out of the mix. I see the Lakers are re-engaging the Spurs on Kawhi, even though the Spurs square up and down and they're not going to give Kawhi what he wants and improve a Western Conference rival at that. You know, there's talk that Philly may be involved. There's talk that Cleveland may try to put together a package to get Kawhi and get to convince LeBron to stay. Bottom line, what the hell do you think is going to happen?
San Antonio keep playing around. What they're going to end up doing is one of the greatest – what's that? One of the greatest quotes from Caddyshack.
Yeah.
You will get nothing and like it. So if they don't go ahead and make a deal, that's exactly what's going to happen. Kawhi's is going to wait out a year, maybe even, you know, do a repeat of what he did this year and not play at all, sit out, and just go ahead and walk on out to L.A. with no conversation coming to San Antonio. San Antonio needs to stop acting like they got the advantage in this situation. They don't. As a matter of fact, it's very scary because, like I said last week, Kawhi holds all of the chips. He knows what he wants to do as of right now. Now, it's a possibility he may be convinced otherwise, but the way it sounds, I doubt that very seriously. And if anyone is willing to get into the Kawhi sweepstakes for a year and make that trade and hope that they can go ahead and win them a world title within that year, I salute you. Good luck. But I just think that, you know, I truly believe if you're going to do it, you better be stacked because you know who you're going to have to face in the Western Conference, and that is the Golden State Warriors unless something strange really happens. And it's somebody else. And the only team as of right now with the pieces, because remember, Philly still got to sign some guys back, including Embiid. Cleveland got to sign some guys back, including LeBron. The only team that I see currently stacked and ready to do it right now and capable of giving up assets is Boston. But if I'm Boston, is it really worth giving up assets to win a title in 1 year? So this is coming from a guy who has finally seen a world title come to his city in a couple of weeks ago, but one who believes in long-term success. And I don't know if that is a formula for long-term success, and I don't really know if they're going to be capable of convincing Kawhi to stay in Boston. It's a possibility, man. You know, Kawhi has won championships before. He has done that. It just seems like he just wants to go back home. And if that is the case, you know, if you go with you a ring in a year, test it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that as a GM I probably wouldn't do. I would go and take my chances with what I currently have.
Here's my thoughts on Kawhi Leonard, the whole Kawhi Leonard saga.
Mm-hmm.
If you're any team other than the L.A. Lakers, if you try and trade for a dude who made it abundantly clear that he was going to go to the Lakers no matter what, technically he said to L.A., preferably the Lakers, excuse me.
Yeah.
You are boo-boo the fool. That's just plain and simple. If you're Boston, this is why Danny Ainge, I think, is one of the best GMs in sports right now. If you're Danny Ainge, you got all those assets from hoodwinking Brooklyn, primarily hoodwinking Brooklyn, and Cleveland on that Kyrie for Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder swap. why the hell would you give that up? And you also have a lottery pick on top of that for next year.
Yeah.
Why would you give that up? Why would you give that up for a 1 year, for what essentially would be a 1 year rental? You gotta be out your damn mind if you're Danny Ainge if you do that. And I don't think he will. I just think he's posturing. I just think he's sitting in the bus of smoke service because we all know that he's not gonna do shit. He's not gonna give up he's not gonna give up any assets. He's not gonna move Jaylen Brown. He's not gonna move I'm blanking right now. Terry Rozier is not going to move that protected lottery pick for next year. Again, thank you, Brooklyn. He's not going to do that. Why would he do that? Suppose, like, Gordon Hayward's not the same next year. Suppose Kyrie's not the same next year, health-wise.
Yeah.
He's on top of a gold mine. And those guys have experience, too, from a deep playoff run last year? Shit. I'd be like, look, I'd just be like, pretend like, you know, let me just hire Kawhi and just scare the Spurs a little bit. We all know they're not going to do anything. Boston's not going to do anything. Why would they? Why would Danny Ainge do that? So basically, it comes down to the Lakers and I don't know, which other team has assets right now? Would it be Philly? I don't know, but again, if you're Philly, you're looking at your squad coming off a 51-win regular season in the second round playoffs, right to the second round of playoffs. Why would you give up any assets? Why would you give up parts of the quote-unquote process? Why would you do that if you know that he's a one-year rental? Why would you? And if you're the L.A. Lakers, why would you trade anybody? I mean, if I'm Magic Johnson. I know he's made that talk about if he didn't land any free agents, in 2 years, he's going to walk away. If you're Magic Johnson, if you know that at least one star wants to come play for you, for your squad, make the Spurs blink.
Yeah.
You know he's coming. He only has one more year on his contract. Why give up assets when you know the boy is coming at least next season, not 2 seasons from now, when his contract is up? Why would you do anything right now?
The only reason why I think they would, and it doesn't make much sense to me, is the fact that they want to at least attempt to start competing now. And I'm like, okay, you can do that, but you're not going to win a title now. I don't know if by adding Kawhi and losing pieces will help you be that much more competitive within the West, but if you go ahead and wait, sign your guys, and you know he coming, I think it'll be a whole different story. Cause
I think, yeah, I agree. If you're LA, if you're Magic Johnson, you know dummy. You know Kawhi wants the ball for you. Again, I know he said LA, preferably the Lakers. He said LA, not the Lakers, but preferably the Lakers, rather.
He said preferably the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah,
and the way that the Clippers are looking
Lakers.
Right now, the way that the Clippers are starting to look, I don't know if he wants to play with the Clippers. It'd just be him. He'd be worse off with the Clippers than he would be with San Antonio. And I don't know how bright that would be unless he thinks that other free agents are going to follow him out there.
It's about the logo, though. Jerry West is running the show now. They got Doc Rivers to trade that overrated kid of his to watch your boys for Marcin Gortat. So don't underestimate. And plus the logo, don't forget, he helped put the Golden State Warriors together. He did draft Steph Curry, Stephen Curry, as well as Klay Thompson and a steal in early second round pick and Draymond Green. He did do that. He drafted those cats. I'm just saying.
True.
And don't forget, he helped build that dynasty in the 80s. That Laker dynasty in the 80s.
And 90s. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he, don't underestimate the logo now. Don't underestimate the logo. That's all I got to say. Jerry West is that dude in the front office. He's proven it.
But I'm just saying, I want to see what the picks that he just made just last week, along with some of the pieces, because I don't trust Gortat, you know, playing out West.
I agree.
Unless this Bama pulls a nene on me, loses weight, calms down, and starts being a malcontent, and starts balling out, it's a possibility that happens. And if that does, he's going to be in line or in my line of NBA players, both past and present, that I want to punch in the gut at least one time for some stuff that they've done to my Wizards/Bullets or to me personally. And for whatever reason, they're all power forwards and centers. But I digress about with that. But, yeah, man, if he does that, I'm going to be upset. But at the same time, that'll be another feather in Jerry West's hat that I could go ahead and make this dude who didn't want to be in Orlando after Dwight Howard left, moved on to Washington, played well in Washington, then outgrew his welcome in Washington, and is now with you. If you could turn him around, Godspeed.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt it.
Again, don't underestimate the logo. I'm not saying Gortat's going to be a world beater. I'm not saying he's going to turn into a productive dude that he used to be. I'm just saying, don't underestimate the logo.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on, because, hey, look, and we're going to get to this in a minute, but as far as the LeBron James sweepstakes are concerned, LeBron is on record as to have a lot of respect for both Doc Rivers and the logo, Jerry West.
Mm.
He loves the owner. The owner in the Clippers owner, I forget his name, he's worth how many billions of dollars? Billions and billions and billions of dollars? Steve Ballmer. I mean,
Steve Ballmer, that's right.
I know he's cool. I know LeBron's already cool with Warren Buffett, the billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, Steve Ballmer has that type of money. I mean, he can pass gas, and $10,000 is coming out of his couch cushion. That's how much money he has. And LeBron's already, he's working on building the brand. He's building the brand. He already has two homes in L.A. He's already started a movie, and I never saw that movie with Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer? You need to watch Trainwreck. He does. Matter of fact, the movie is a lot funnier than what I expected, especially the parts with Amari Stoudemire. LeBron James does a hell of a job in that movie. If you haven't seen Trainwreck, go out and see it.
That's what I heard. I'll catch it on Netflix or something. I heard he did a damn good job. And I heard that movie was pretty funny, too. So I need to check that out. But what I'm saying, other than saying this, he's working on it. He's already perfecting his brand off the court.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to become a future black billionaire, maybe to try to own a franchise or what have you. So that's pretty much the next step. I know he's chasing rings. He's chasing the Jordan, the Michael Jordan ghost. But he already has 3 rings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, don't count out the Clippers as far as Kawhi and LeBron, because they both can make some things happen with some cap room and with some.
Yeah.
So they both have the maneuverability to bring out of those cats or probably both those cats in. But since we're already talking about him right now, it seems that word on the street is LeBron has nailed his choices down between Cleveland, going back to Cleveland, and going to L.A. to ball for the Lakers. Look, I'm not in the pronunciation business as much. Excuse me, maybe doing football season because I love football, but part of me wouldn't be shocked if he stayed in Cleveland and did another one-off deal. Because if it's true that Paul George is leaning towards return to OKC, where he and Russell Westbrook have developed quite a tight bond on and off the court, why would LeBron move west? Why would LeBron move out west?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to go to L.A. by himself. Otherwise, he's still – L.A. in that case, the Lakers in that scenario would be a better version, slightly better version, a younger version of this present Cleveland team.
That's exactly what they would be.
They just have more skill and they're cheaper, but, I mean, we might as well stay in Cleveland at that point or even try to go to Philly if we want to stay east. So, I don't know. What do you think about that rumor of Cleveland or L.A. or bust, pretty much?
If that is true, like you said, if I'm LeBron and the way that he's sounded throughout the entire season, including – after the finals, he's tired, man. He needs somebody he can lean on. And if there isn't a star that's going to be out there with him in L.A., I guess he'll just do his best to try to attract somebody to come to Cleveland. That'll be it. Because, like you said before, it doesn't make sense other than the fact of him wanting just to be out in L.A. probably a year earlier before they're able to get Kawhi out there. You know, if that happens. But, I really don't see any logic in him doing that from a basketball perspective, that is.
Right.
Going out to L.A. without there being another piece out there with him this coming season, unless he's just going to be patient and wait and play as if he's being patient and wait and not going out there logging these 40-plus minute games for 82 games. He goes out there, he paces himself this coming season and waits for help to come, and then they go ahead and do their thing and make one more run at it. But, that's the only reason I see him moving out to L.A. without another piece going out there with him is because it's off-the-floor stuff. That's the only reason.
And that's the case.
Another
then,
piece has to come with him.
Well, if that's the case, then we know that he's really not about winning. He's not about – well, I shouldn't say about winning. He's all about building this brand, which is that's his right. He's entitled to do that. He's earned it. But if he's really chasing rings, chasing goats, I would consider staying east and going with Philly. That's just me. Or I know Houston's a dark horse. I don't see that happening mainly because – as James Harden once said, they think they're better than Golden State. He thinks that if Chris – and that's not a bad argument to make. If Chris Paul had been healthy, and I think they'd beat the Warriors in 7. With healthy Chris Paul. It's just they just got worn down. They being the Rockets, they got worn down in Game 7. Game 6 and 7, especially Game 6. They got their doors blown off them in the second half. But in Game 7, too, they wore down in the third quarter. And that's because they were playing shorthanded. That, again, Mike D'Antoni, you better coach than that. But they didn't have any firepower.
But is he, though?
Maybe not.
Maybe see, not, I mean, that's what I'm saying. D'Antoni hasn't proven to me yet that he's that better of a coach. But it's a combination of D'Antoni's decision-making, the decision-making of the Rockets as a whole. Even though that was their style, they should have decided to make changes. And we talked about this already with their
right.
shooting, with their shot selection. And then, of course,
right.
Golden State just being monsters in the third quarter anyway. So
right.
that was their downfall in Game 7. But I agree with James Harden that they are good enough to compete with Golden State. But God, why not if you're not going to lose anything big, why not add another major piece if you can?
Yeah, the problem is they'll be losing Capella. If they bring in LeBron or they bring in LeBron, they'll be losing Capella. They'll be losing probably Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of their role players that actually stepped up and did the damn thing. I'm blanking on the other two players' names right now, but Tucker, they'll definitely lose him. They'll probably lose Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame James Harden for thinking that just because they're his boys, but he really does have a point.
Yeah.
I mean, they are right there with Golden State. They don't
mm-hmm.
need to really change anything. They just maybe need to change, maybe just have a brain transplant in Mike D'Antoni, and I'll just play six or seven dudes against Golden State. But,
yeah.
I mean, outside of that, I mean, Houston's still a damn good squad. Who can check,
mm-hmm.
who's not afraid of Golden State and plays like it. I think
yeah.
Boston would be another team that's not afraid of Golden State. But, again, if I'm LeBron, I keep my ass east. Maybe stay at Cleveland one more year, or let the ball in Philly. That's what I would do if I were him. So we'll see. We'll see. He'll probably have a couple more days before he makes his decision.
He makes his decision on Friday on whether or not he's going to opt out or not. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 2 days from now. Yes, 2 days
mm-hmm.
from now. So we'll see. And I don't think it'll be as much weeping and gnashing of teeth as he did like he did when he went to Miami. So. I think
no.
Cleveland be like, thanks for hooking us up. Look at y'all here on this, man. We'll close y'all on this. I mean, not much about the NBA draft or the Rookie of the Year from the award show, which I don't watch award shows, but the NBA award shows are pretty damn good. But right quick with the draft, I don't know if there are any bust potentials. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The draft was pretty boring. I mean, I know there were some trades or whatnot, but, I mean, you don't really know these young guys. Ayton went first, as pretty much everyone and Mama knew that Ayton would go first out of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Bagley III went top three. I like that Donis chick. I mean that Donis kid, rather not chick, but kid. I think he'll do well. I think the Mavericks still think that they're trying to find the next Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
And I don't think. I mean, he's a nice kid, nice player from what I've seen on film. I just don't see it right now. But, look, I don't want to say any kid's going to be a bust. I want all these young men, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever sport, to achieve their dreams, you know, to make their dreams come true. I'm all for these kids. I just think that Trey Young was taken too high. I really did. And
yeah.
I know that Atlanta wants a guard, needs a guard, trying to move Schroeder, and Schroeder wants the hell out to be the hell out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, that kid, he's very small. I know people think he's going to be the next Steph Curry, but Steph Curry, when he was drafted, no one thought he'd end up like the way he is now. But I just hope that Trey Young gets in the weight room. He just needs to play some damn defense. And he needs to improve his shot because he can shoot, but he it's like a set shot. He doesn't shoot off the dribble. So he needs
mm-hmm.
to work on doing a better job getting his shot. Otherwise, these point guards in the NBA, they're going to have his ass for lunch for a few years if that doesn't really bulk up and improve. So what are your thoughts on the draft?
Actually, that is the exact same guy who I was thinking about. Not only I hate stereotypes. Let me start that my statement off right. with that. I hate stereotypes. But it just seemed to be that within the first round, a lot of people went where I expected them to go. Okay, all right.
Right.
We knew that 8-8 was going to go first. Okay. Atlanta taking a guard that's being compared to Mike Bibby, who played in Atlanta. Yeah, I can see that happening. You know, Dallas getting the international guy, they got that. And they also won by getting another first-round pick within that trade.
Sure.
Grayson Allen going to Utah, yeah, I can see that. You know,
that figure.
Get him another white boy out there.
You know he had to go to Utah. You know he had to go to Utah. I mean, come on. I won't say it, but come on.
Yeah, like I said, I hate being stereotypical, but yeah, that's what it looks like, right? Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But the Wizards messing up their pick. Yeah, there you go. That happened too. So, like you said, Trae Young was the guy that kind of stood out to me if you're talking about maybe reaching a little bit too high at that third spot. You know, but that was a trade situation. More likely for the reason why he was taking third overall, but even still, like I said before, or like I said last week, Atlanta is nothing but our four, a bunch of tomato cans, you know, just chilling. And now you throw Trae Young into that mix. How much better do they become with Trae Young? We'll have to see. And what type of numbers will he put up in Atlanta? Because we don't know if he necessarily will be a bust or not. And then that's the other thing, too. How do we rate a guy as being a bust now in the NBA, especially with the draft? You have 11 of the first 14 guys being taken were freshmen. You know what I'm saying? So you have a lot of guys taking guys with the hopes of development. Now, if they break out early, so be it. But these are all guys, man, you know, the GMs are hoping would develop into something. You know, they may not, they're hoping they do fantastic. And we all know the chances of a rookie that's coming out of his freshman year out of college doing big things his first year is very slim. And out of these guys, you know, once again, I expect maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 to average over 15 points a game. That's it. But if they average less than 15 but more than 10, are they still a bust?
That's a good point. You make a good point. Again, you never know. No one knew, for example, that Donovan Mitchell would be leading all rookies in scoring with 21 points per game. And speaking of which, we'll close the show on this, brother. I know you're going to say something, too. I thought that Donovan Mitchell would get much more love for Rookie of the Year. It was a lopsided vote for Ben Simmons. I understand it. I understand why. But I think that Mitchell had a bigger impact on his team because he think the Utah squad had no damn business sniffing the playoffs after losing out on the Gordon Hayward sweepstakes, leading him to the Celtics in free agency. And for them to make it through the second round of the playoffs, it's nothing short of remarkable. But I know you have some thoughts on Donovan Mitchell, but so go ahead and do your thing.
Yeah, you know, like I said last week, man, you know, it's the whole Blake Griffin thing all over again. You know, I still feel as though just because you don't play, you still practice, you still go to meetings, you're still around the team, you're around the NBA atmosphere for an entire season. So you're still picking that stuff up through not just osmosis, you're still practicing with these guys. Just because you don't play on the floor doesn't mean that you're not out there participating with these guys. So you know the rigors of an NBA season, unlike a kid that comes in fresh off of coming from wherever they're coming from, straight into the league and having to compete. But Ben Simmons is a sexy pick. You know what I'm saying? He's a stretch three, stretch four, has nice
handles.
He's
a point
four. Exactly.
He's a point handle. He's a point
six
guard.
6'10". Fantastic handles. On a sexy team, light-skinned brother that's international. He just got all that stuff off him. I'm sorry, man. I had to throw that out there. I had to throw that out there.
The return of light-skinned brother. Yes, go ahead.
So, you got all that right there, man. He was the favorite. Yeah, he was the favorite. And, you know, it's to be expected. But, you know, if that's the way we're going to look at it, I guess that's what the rule is going to be, man. And it is what it is. You just have to keep that in mind from here on out. But I just say that
you
need to take into consideration that whole thing of being around an NBA team for an entire season before you play has something to do with his preparedness for getting ready for that season when he is ready.
Well, you know what, man? You said light-skinned brother. I mean, light-skinned brother's making a huge comeback in the NBA. How about the all-beige brigade NBA team? I mean, you have Stephen Curry,
Steph Curry,
Klay Thompson, Ben Simmons. Oh my God, I'm Glenn Brinker. Okay, Jason Tatum. Okay,
Jason Tatum.
That guy. Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma.
Coming off the Rudy Gobert. You're saying Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, that's right, the French dude. Yeah, Rudy Gobert. And if you want to go old school, Tony Parker. Malcolm Brogdon.
Man,
that's yours for getting here. Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon from Milwaukee. I'm telling you, man. The Braves Brigade is back, man. The light skinned dudes. They're coming out. They come out the woodwork, aren't they?
Hey. I don't know what I can say about it right now, man. You know, he just had all of the intangibles, if you will, as being that guy to watch. And plus, what Mitchell was drafted what 15, 16 last year? 20th, maybe
right on the edge of being a lottery pick. He was 13th, I think.
Exactly. So you know the. Coming into the season, there was no fanfare and there was no high expectation. But he comes in leading all rookies in points scored. So, you know, I just thought, you know, he got the shaft in that situation. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
It is what it is. And one of my frat brothers told me right quick on Facebook that he played in Salt Lake City. Ben Simmons played in Philadelphia. East Coast.
Yeah.
Major media market. They made the playoffs for the first time in several years. Went from less than 20 wins, averaging less than 20 wins, to 51 wins in the season on a 16-game winning streak in the regular season. And they were the story of the year. And unfortunately, the Jazz got caught up playing second place. So
in sports, if you look at it. This was the year of Philadelphia, and you add mix with the Eagles' success and Villanova's success, you just go ahead, and it was very easy to do. Why not?
So
I respect him for dapping up Mitchell before he went up on stage, man, and showing that respect.
Yeah, he dapped him up. He dapped Jason Tatum up right before that on the way up, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be – the NBA is in good hands, and I love the fact that Ben Simmons is savage as hell throughout the season. Going back and forth between him and Mitchell, but the NBA is in great hands, and I can't really argue with the NBA Rookie of the Year. I just thought that Mitchell should have gotten more love. But anyway, hey, thanks a lot for the show, man. Let's do it again next week.
No problem. And speaking of savage real quick, Casey's speech for Coach of the Year – that was savage. The fact that he didn't even acknowledge Toronto's front office in that entire speech. Matter of fact, he kind of dissed them a little bit. He thanked everybody else but Toronto's front office and their ownership in that entire speech, man. And he did it with class. So that was classy savage. That was Macho King, if you will, Dwayne Casey, in order to do that.
That's called passive-aggressive savageness. So, guys, give him props for that. Hey, man, you take a light, man. See you next week.
You do the same, man.
All right, peace out. That's my guy, Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on Sleazy Radio every week here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as his blog, the Yard/HBCU Sports. thank y'all for tuning into the Clan Hour. This is Scott Burks. I hope that you enjoyed our World Cup soccer talk. We're going to get a lot more of that next week when the midst of the playoff stage will take place. So until next week, take care. 06, good night.